everybody. Welcome into the Looking Both Ways podcast. I'm Pastor Tim, your typical host here, and I am with Pastor Rich. And even though Jonathan was the one that preached last week, we still have some stuff to talk about as we look forward to this next weekend. So if you're wondering what this is, again, the Looking Both Ways podcast is a chance for us to look back at some of the things that were talked about in previous weeks, but then also look forward to what's going to be preached about and learned in our setting, in our Sunday setting, in the following week. And the reason why we do this is because a lot of times we hit the middle of the week or maybe even Monday and we totally forget what was talked about on Sunday. And so this is a way for us to continue to not only apply what we learned to our lives, but also prepare our hearts for what God would have for us in that following week. And so on Sunday, if you were here, we got to hear from Jonathan, who leads, if you're wondering who Jonathan is, maybe you saw him on our social media platforms. He is the one that leads our Ignite group, which is our young adult group from 18 to 25 years old. He preached about unity and really what that looks like as we kind of continue in our series through Ephesians called New. So Pastor Rich, I'm sure you know enough about what he spoke on, maybe to give us a synopsis and just some high points to remember, especially as we look forward to this coming weekend.
Yeah, sure. Well, I looked at, as I was running around, because we did 101 this weekend, and so praise God for that. And I always like to take the opportunity to look around and see what else is going on when I'm not in there preaching. So that's always a cool thing to do. But in what Jonathan talked about, he talked about how God created unity amongst mankind by creating I reference Stott a lot, because I really think he says this well, this new humanity that he put together. It's Jew and Gentile. And he reminds the Ephesian church that they are Gentiles mostly, and they're Jews, and that God brought them together under the banner of Jesus. And Jesus is the reason, faith in Jesus brings us together as one new humanity, transformed by the Holy Spirit, transformed by the gospel, to make this unifying place, this unifying community. And he's building on this as we walk through this to do that. So we went from death to life by grace, and now we're being made into a new person, transformation, and that's true of both Jew and Gentile. So it's one humanity. There is, and he talks about this in Galatians, where there is, you know, no slave nor free, male or female. All of those barriers are cast aside. It's a new humanity based around faith in Christ and faith in Jesus. And that is what the mystery that's been revealed has been all about, that Paul has been able to reveal. And he'll talks a lot about that. And he talks about how this is built on the teaching that's in the Word, from the apostles and the prophets and all of those things. And so it's the essence of the beginning of this new society, starting with new humanity. And you can call this new society if you want, the kingdom of God. That's a phrase that you could use if you want to. But bringing that together, and then we as the church, and he starts unpacking this more as we walk through Ephesians, we begin to lay that out. And that's when he gets into Ephesians chapter 3, which we'll talk about here later this week.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wrote down, I kind of often pull out my notebook, which if you're not a note taker, it's a great idea, especially if you're trying to continue your learning throughout the week, or just maybe hanging up that note sheet that we hand out, just as a reminder. But this is so true of our church. And I think when he said this in his sermon, it actually resonates a lot with us, because we say that we're one church, two languages, three traditions, right? Uniform is different than unified. We seek unity, not uniformity. And I thought that was a really neat tie-in to us, because again, just because you don't look the same doesn't mean you can't have unity. Just because you don't sing the same songs doesn't mean you can't have unity. And he kind of closed with those two points. We seek unity because of remembering who we were before Christ, and we seek unity because we're meant to live out the hope we have in Christ. And so I think that's a beautiful picture of our church, because again, we have three services that don't sing the same, that might not speak the same language, that might not have the same color of skin. But that doesn't mean, you know, when you look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, when it says they had all things in common, it doesn't mean that they were uniform. It means that they were unified. So can you maybe go into the difference of what those two things are?
Yeah, I mean, unity, not uniformity is a great phrase. I think we've been we've all probably heard that in different ways before, but it's true. We don't all have to look alike. In fact, we all shouldn't look alike. And in fact, I don't even know how that's really possible if you really think about it, since we're all created uniquely in the image of God, but God makes us all unique. There's only one Tim Finch. There's only one Richard Spring, and there's never going to be another Tim Finch, and there's never going to be another Richard Spring. And that's how God designed it. And so bringing us together, we do this in the one-on-one class quite often, and I did it this last time. What brings us all into this room? Because we're, if you into our one-on-one classes, for those of you that don't know and haven't been through it already, or maybe been a member for a while, we have a very diverse group normally when we do one-on-one now. It's brown, it's white, it's young, it's old. And so what brings us all together? What brings us to the place that we're at right now? It's Jesus. And it's what Jesus has done in us and through us, and Jesus calling us to, to a place to love one another, to love him, and to serve one another. And that's what the church is to represent. And I'll talk more about that as we go into this week, because it's a beautiful picture. And it's a picture that I'll talk about, again, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. It's a picture of heaven. In heaven, there's going to be I don't know exactly what unity and, I know what unity will look like in heaven, but I don't know how we're going to all be singing holy, holy, holy a lot. I know that. And so, what that uniformity looks like. Uniformity is just like we all dress the same, talk the same, read the same Bible, listen to the same music. And maybe you've been in churches like that where people can kind of throw that in you and throw that at that. But that's not what brings us unity. I've been in many churches that look the same, dress the same, read the same Bible, read the same Sunday school curriculum. And they hated each other's guts, just to be brutally honest with you. So uniformity does not bring unity, as you said. But unity is built around Jesus is the only way that we can truly be unified, because it's a spirit thing, and it's a spiritual thing that God brings together when he brings us all together in that way. And that's really important to understand. Our unity is not something we can create. It's only something God can do. We can help nurture the culture and for like I used to say, jokingly, fight for it. But we do have to do our part to protect it and to build upon it and not allow people to move us in a more uniform direction, because God doesn't work that way.
Yeah, well, and it's all based off of citizenship, right? Like if you were to say we're all Americans, well, that doesn't mean we all talk the same, look the same, live the same way, have the same traditions, listen to the same music, but it does speak to our citizenship. And so for us, we're all ambassadors for Christ and citizens of heaven. That's what unifies us, right? And and so let's get into, you've already kind of teased at it a couple of times, so let's get into it. So what are we looking forward to this coming weekend as we kind of prepare ourselves for Sunday?
Well, we're going to be in Ephesians 3, 1 through 13, and I really wanted to try and tie the first three chapters together. And I think Paul was starting to do that. And if you notice in Ephesians 3, it says for this reason, then you go down to 14, it says for this reason. It's like he stops and he has to give his resume. He just felt led to give, this is why I'm telling you this is why I'm doing this. And so I want to tie back, and the title of the message is Grace, New Life, Grace's Masterpiece on Display. I'm going to tie back to Ephesians 2:10, and then I want to walk through what Jonathan kind of touched on this week, or last week, and then tie it into Ephesians 3. We, as individuals, are God's masterpiece. That's what Ephesians 2:10 clearly tells us. We together, as followers of Christ, these new people coming together in the church, are God's masterpiece on display. We're almost like, for use the lack of a better way of saying it, we're like the art gallery of the grace of God. And so all of us are different. We're all different kinds of art. We can say it that way if you want. But when we come together, we are a display, not only to the world through our lifting up Jesus and being salt and light, but what he says in Ephesians 3:10 is a really important passage to understanding the church, is that we are the manifold wisdom of God on display to the angels and the heavenly realms. And so the picture's almost like, okay, we got to show God's wisdom to the angels who say, how can that be the smartest thing he could ever do? and thinking like that. And so I really want to focus in on that and how we are one humanity. We are masters and we're all called to be missionaries in that context. Paul lays out his missionary call to do all of these things. And we're to display the wisdom. The church, believe it or not, with all of us and all of our dysfunction, is the display. We are a display of the manifold wisdom and grace of God. And my goal here is really just to get us to really start thinking about ourselves as a church family, as who we really are when we are in Christ. And that's really become very important to me. We're supposed to be, as I read yesterday, a community of grace. And that means changing sometimes our language and how we communicate things. Like, for instance, I'm going to say this Sunday, but I'll say here now as a preview. We often say we are sinners saved by grace. We like that. It's wrong. Okay? It's wrong. We are saints who sin. That's a huge difference in how we think about ourselves as followers of Jesus.
Yeah, it kind of gets at what do you identify as? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. We like to say, oh, I'm just a sinner like everybody else. Wrong. We are saints who sin. There are people that will be in our church Sunday who are sinners in need of grace. And if they come to know Jesus on Sunday, they will be sinners who have been saved by grace. But once that's done, they are saints who now struggle with the issues of sin. We have to start thinking of ourselves more how God thinks of us instead of relying on how we think of ourselves, because we tend to be, let's face it, negative and beat up ourselves a lot more than God's doing right now. God's not beating us up right now. Jesus died for all of that stuff. So I really want to unpack that and help with people, because I'm really hoping it helps people to feel more hope and to be more positive about their journey in faith and be excited about it, as opposed to just say, having Eeyore faith.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because like we've talked about this in different ways, even in the youth ministry, of really like, where is your focus? And I love that. Like if you call yourself a sinner that's saved, well, then that means that you're identifying as a sinner.
That's right.
Not as, you know, you got to live free, right? If you've been set free, you have to live like you're free. So, you know, I love that. And I think it's, there was this concept of like World War II pilots. I heard this story in a previous sermon from somebody else, but there was a device that they would actually use to where the bomber, the bombardier would actually have a device to aim, but it would actually take over control of the plane. Mm-hmm. And he would actually control the plane while he was aiming. And what they found, one of the dangers of that is sometimes they would actually crash into what they were staring down, the target. Obviously that's not your goal. Yeah. But again, like whatever you're staring down, sometimes you're going to run into that. And so I love the idea of just focusing on the fact that you are set free instead of focusing on the fact that you're a sinner, putting that identity in the right order. I think is really important. So,
well, and you almost have to, because as we get into the rest of Ephesians, after we get past the end of chapter 3, which is another prayer, he starts bringing the application component to this. This is what this new community, this is what this new society, if you will, looks like. And when we get into a 4, where it talks about giftedness and it talks about loving one another and forgiving one another and all of those things, we can't do that if we don't have a proper understanding of what he's already told us about who we are in Christ in 1-3. I mean, when you're chosen, redeemed, sealed, adopted, holy, blameless, made alive once you were dead, by grace you're saved. These are things that God has done for us. You're God's masterpiece, God's poem. How can you sit there and say, I'm a lowly sinner saved by grace, when God just said you were a masterpiece? And why do we focus on that? We like to focus on the sinner part because we know we sin. And we feel like people identify with us better is because they mess up, we mess up, and we want to identify with our relationships. And I get that. We all want to do that. But there's a different way to communicate it as well. I'll give you an example. I was talking about this today. I went and got to the dentist this morning, and I had a different hygienist than I normally have. Mine was off. And I go to a dentist who is, his family is very well known Mormon family, very well known in our community. So we were sitting there talking, we're waiting for the dentist to come look at my teeth and do his little evaluation. And she asked me what I did. And I told her I was a pastor. Her kid goes to the same, goes to Excelsior like my two kids do. And so that made a connection. And then she started asking me about, what I was going to preach. She goes, do you call it a sermon or a talk or a message? What exactly do you call it? And so that allowed me to unpack this and then to go back into grace. And then she was telling me that her, because she's working with them in a Mormon crowd. And I don't know what her faith journey is. We never got that far, but it allowed me. She says, well, you know, we talked about being baptized, you know, baptism, how baptism saves us. And I said, no, for me, baptism doesn't save me at all, because I'm saved by grace. And at that point, the conversation got really quiet and really thought provoking. Because if you come from that background, when you take them to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, they have a very hard time unpacking grace. And so for her, that was almost something kind of new to try and grasp and understand. And so, again, it's about who we are. We're not trying to earn it. God's already done it. Live it that way. That's really the point.
Yeah, well, I love that concept of living out grace, you know, that... You can, sometimes we almost have to surrender to grace. Well, actually, a lot of times we have to surrender to grace. The fact that, no, we really are forgiven. We really have been set free. And I think the devil does a really good job of infusing shame to keep us from living that way. Yeah. When in reality, God doesn't call us to live in shame. He calls us to live, what does scripture say? Abundant life, you know, have life and have it abundantly. As we seek to glorify him. So
it's hard to be more than conquerors if you're living in defeat.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great way of saying it. Well, cool. Well, I'm really excited for this weekend. I hope you all are. And again, just be praying about this. Read through Ephesians. You know the passage now. So read through that passage. Go back. We always link the previous sermon in these videos. So go back if you missed last week and listen to Jonathan's message that he delivered on unity. And then again, maybe read this coming weekend's passage. So that way you're ready to go. Cause that's the whole point of this, is to carry us through our week. So we hope that you're having a wonderful week. We hope that this is impactful for you, that it's encouraging for you. And we look forward to having you all here with us on Sunday morning as we continue to move through the book of Ephesians.
Thank you, everybody.
Awesome. Well, this is the Looking Both Ways podcast. Again, I'm your host, Pastor Tim, and we hope you all have a wonderful day.